Taiwan Special, episode 3 of the week. All right. I'm going to make this fast as I can. There's this mother of one of the Columbine shooters, and she's out talking, and she's got her talk. You go listen to it. You know, I'm a mother of one of the Columbine shooters or something. It was a TED Med talk. Okay. I am not going to judge her for the past. I'm not going to condemn her for the past. I'm not going to critique and say bad things about her for the past or for what her son did. Look, mothers of criminals, it's hard. I mean, the mother raised them, but at the same time, people make their own choices. And, you know, history and education myself, my father an educator, my mother was a daycare mom, one of the top 10 in the local newspaper. Look, parents can be really immature. They don't know what they're doing. A lot of parents go in like, I'm a parent. Don't tell me what to do. It's like, do you know how many children fail when they grow up? Like, becoming a parent, you've got to go figure out and get out your A game and make it work. It's not going to be successful just because you want it to be. So it's like, you've got to be determined to be awesome as a parent, knowing that you're going to fail and refusing to accept failure and be absolutely hard on yourself. And if you don't get out your A game and determined to win and make every play, pass, and shot count, you're going to have problems as a parent. This isn't hard. This isn't parenting theory. This is life theory. And this is me having almost 25 years in tutoring education, my father being a teacher for 20 years, my mother doing daycare for 15 years. I've seen it again and again. I've watched the kids grow up, have kids of their own, and raise them. And I've been in Taiwan. I've done it in two hemispheres. As an American who's lived in Taiwan 10 years, I do have something to say about the way parents raise their kids. And they've got to get out their A game. But even if you do, you still can't control them. So you got, the mother of a murderer. It's not easy. It's hard. What do you say? I'm not going to say anything about the murder part. It's hard. And that mother has had her share of hardship. I'll say that. Absolutely. And I won't judge her for the actions of her son. As much as I probably should, I won't, because there are other factors, because it's complicated. But what I will critique is what she said in the TED Talk. She said, I did hurt everybody. Or it did. She did. It did. It hurt everybody. Because it's not only the students that were shot or injured or the students at the school, psychological damage to the survivors. It initiated other mass shootings in other parts of the world. And it hurt the whole country and the whole world. And so it hurt everybody. And she says this early on in her talk. Then later on, she gives the textbook. Well, I'll tell you the words first. She said, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. If I hurt you. If I hurt you. That's the classic textbook fake apology. And she gave the classic textbook, if I hurt you. What, you mean you're not sure? You need to clarify if you're sure that you hurt someone or not before you give the apology. Because there's no apology yet, because it's an if. An apology cannot be given in the subjunctive. It's got to be given in the indicative. Not maybe this happened, not if this happens. This did happen. That's what we do apologies with. Look, but if you use but, you canceled everything you just said. No, you didn't. There's one side of the coin, but there's also the other side of the coin. That doesn't cancel the first side of the coin, but does cancel. The word but does cancel what you say when you use it in an apology. And so does the word if. She gave an apology with if. And I'll tell you, she said her son walked out the door. Last thing he said was something like, bye. That's not a son who thinks his mom is going to listen to what he says. And if she's still giving textbook fake apologies with the if, all these years later, I'm not wondering why the son thought that. And that was all he said when he left the last time. And she still hasn't figured this out. And her solution is to grab the guns. We had a home with no guns. Gee, did you ever think that maybe that could have been part of the problem? That teaching him to use it safely and that we don't use guns to kill other people and to remove the curiosity and to teach responsibility to displace it might have been the thing, rather than letting the bad guys educate him about the guns, let the ethical good guys educate him about the guns, never occurs to her because she still sticks to the same policies that she had that were part of the failure. And the thing is, she says, I did everything right. I did everything right. I did everything I could do that I thought, that's right. She thought she was doing awesome. That's what she still says today. She thought she was doing awesome. You know, at the time she thought she was doing, I must not have, but at the time I must have done, which means she didn't have her A game. And this isn't about, and she got luckily unlucky. She has this bad thinking that preceded. I'm not going to necessarily say that it caused it, but it was present. It's a bad thinking that causes problems, and it was present where a problem followed. I know that. I'm not trying to equivocate. I'm telling you, I can't draw the conclusion for sure, but I know that you had something that's there that causes similar problems when it's present elsewhere. And she had a lot of this. Well, I'm doing fine. I'm doing my best. That's someone who thinks that they've arrived but doesn't have their A game out. And that's someone that's still not willing to reevaluate the way they do stuff. And that's someone who's still giving fake apologies. You don't give real apologies when you're young and then suddenly start giving fake if apologies when you're in your 60s and 70s. If you're in your 60s and 70s giving fake apologies with the if or the but, you've been doing that your whole life and you never learned. And I'm seeing this stuff. So there's a serious inability to reevaluate what the real problem was. Her solution? Psychotherapy? Look, I love psychosemantics because they help us understand what's going on. We use our vocabulary to think. You don't have a vocabulary, you can't think. I love okay, that's that problem. I mean, I love reading about psychological conditions. I see half of them in myself, which every psychologist will tell you. All of us indicate parts of psychological problems at times. Being diagnosed means that they're massively persistent. But I love reading about crazy because I see it in myself and I knock it off. As the video, stop it. Go look it up. Stop it. But this lady, that's her solution? Look, the solution to the world's problems is not to get psychotherapy for people that we shouldn't mess up in the first place if we'd get our A game out. And I'll tell you what this all comes down to, and this is where it goes back to curriculum development. The real problem with curriculum development, even here in Taiwan, I've been talking with people about this new YouTube channel that I launched. I told you how to look it up in the podcast weekly. People are giving me feedback about it already. Say, our education's got problems. Like, we got problems with education here. I'm like, yeah. Like, how do we fix it? What system do we use? I say, you don't use a system. Education only works if you know how to evaluate results as shown by application. You take something you learn, you memorize the charts, you do practice with the teacher, and you go out into the real world and solve a problem that you've never seen before. That's how you know that you've learned. And you're only going to be able to do that if you go into the classroom and solve problems that no one, including the teacher, has ever seen before. Well, maybe. At least trying or getting close. Or at least problems that you've never seen before. We've got to know how to look at real life and evaluate real results. And this lady doesn't know how to do that according to her talk. And by thinking she had everything right, what was her criteria? It was all too easy. The way she judged herself as a parent in those days is like so many others, which is kind of my point here. They get this easy set of standards, and they're not in touch with reality. It's just some list that they think is nice. He's talking mean, and I look at him, and I say, talk nice. Maybe throw in a little passive aggression, some little tiny thumb screw to make him shut up and go away. Oh, look, I told him to talk nice, and he's not talking mean anymore. Good, I did my job. Yeah, totally unaware that he might have gone away and resented you and plotted to kill his own classmates. After 15 years of this? She set up, probably, it looks like to me, her own set of random, irrelevant criteria for whether or not she was doing a good job. And that's what they do in Taiwanese curriculum. We need to get our A game out. But the only way you're going to know if you have your A game out, one, is if you're sweating. My supervisor told me that at work one time. Jesse, I'm actually seeing sweat on your forehead for the first time. I'm like, yeah, I can feel it for the first time. I finally got it. I love that supervisor. Frank was his name. Funny, I had two supervisors named Frank in Chicago. Okay, I'm off the subject here. Look, we need to be able to evaluate real life results. And the only way that you know that you've really got your A game on, yes, is sweat on your brow, that you're exhausted, but also that you can look at real life and see that the real results are there. And if they're not there, you're obviously not doing a good job. And we need to know how to evaluate real results. And the point that I have with this mother, I don't think she's especially bad. I think she's luckily unlucky. She has a series of thinkings that are not advisable from, what I've known in working with different kids, what parents tell me. I talked with a parent yesterday. She's got a kid that won't stop playing computer games on his Macintosh. He's 11 years old. I was talking with her about how to solve it. I said, teach the kid that the computer is a tool, not a toy. She says, well, I need to wait. I said, why are you going to wait to teach him what he should know at 6? Kids play games because they want to use the computers for something productive, but no one will tell them. But they know there's something in this computer that's useful. Stop acting like kids have to learn college-level stuff in order to start learning, and show them how to take the professional video editing software and play with it when they're children. Believe in people. Believe that people can do stuff. Look at real results. Don't just follow forms that might not even work without accountability. Accountability is application. Does it work in real life? And we've got to be able to look at that. And the problem here is that this mother was luckily unlucky. She's got this series of bad thinkings that plague many parents. Fortunately and unfortunately for her, she got to see the bad results. So maybe she may not have learned them. She may be a good person. Really, she may have become a better person or gone from bad to good. I don't think she learned the lesson that counts, but I do think that she's humble, and that might be more important. But the bad thinking she has is more frequent and maybe more severe in many other parents and people, students, grandparents, policymakers, government leaders, business leaders, college education leaders, school. All over the world, people have this bad thinking, and it's bad everywhere. She was fortunate enough to be unfortunate enough to have it actually go bad, so it might make her eat some humble pie. Maybe God likes her. But I'm more worried for everybody else that has the same thinking and still doesn't know it because they haven't seen the results yet to make them have their crisis. That's my thought in the Taiwan special for the week. See you next week.